Welcome to You Are Invited, a podcast hosted by Dr. Dale Dan, where we celebrate diversity and invite everyone to share their own stories with the world. Here at Lansing Community College, we believe every voice matters. Dr. Dan and the Office of Empowerment want you, our LCC community, to be part of the conversation. Join us, share your experience, and help us build an inclusive community where everyone is heard.
Well, a good morning to you. This is so exciting. My name is Dale Dan. I'm the Chief Diversity Officer here at Lansing Community College. To say that I'm excited would be an understatement. Today we are launching our podcast series entitled You Are Invited within here at the Office Empowerment. And what is even more fascinating is that I'm here with Ezekiel, one of our students. And what is so special about this, when I first heard Ezekiel's story in my office, I was so inspired. And as he was speaking, I kept thinking, wow, it's got to go beyond my office, because there's so many persons who can be encouraged by what Ezekiel has to say. We are going to have a series of podcasts here in the Office of Empowerment, but the one today is entitled, In Spite of Life, I Am Here. And it's about empowering our LCC community through our life's stories. And today we are about to enjoy the story of our very, very valued student, Ezekiel. Good morning, Ezekiel.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, please, your upbringing.
I was born in Lansing, Michigan. I moved to Louisiana for a few years, came back. I was one sibling out of five biological siblings. I was the middle child of three boys and one girl. Mm-hmm. I had three brothers. Two were older, one was younger, and then my sister was the oldest of them all. My childhood was not so great because of the middle child. I was often overlooked. There was not really any type of security in the relationship I had with my biological mother. Mm-hmm. Herself was going through it with other men that she had brought into her life. So I never had really any positive male figures around myself. I often seeked comfort elsewhere because my own comfort of my own home was not possible. I want to say that my upbringing when it comes to being a person of color also was harder because of that. I was seen as to be somebody who was going to always sell drugs and be a thug and all the above.
Yes.
A lot of derogatory slang thrown towards me. Mm-hmm. And what they didn't know is actually I was complete opposite. I was a person who was always caring despite all of the pain and agony that I got. You know, the rejection from my biological mother, the rejection from my my peers. I was often isolated because I didn't have any social skills because mm-hmm. I was very much neglected mm-hmm. into those situations. I wasn't pushed to find new friends. My mother didn't have any friends that were my age that she could hook me up with and have play dates and things mm-hmm, like that. Mm-hmm. So I want to say more of that she was very verbally abusive. I got kicked out when I was 18. I actually got adopted at the age of 19. So mm-hmm. that entirely changed my whole course of my life. I actually was my parents now, which I love and adore more than anything on the planet, have changed my life outcome from even being depressed and dropping out of high school. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't even get my GED until 2023. And then I became to LCC, got a bunch of opportunities back to back to back. Mm-hmm. And I'm also an honor roll student who kept pushing whenever things were shown that the odds weren't for me. Mm-hmm. They were very much against me. And I didn't see any, there's some days, of course, I didn't see any future. You know, there was no way I was going to make it through. But of course, once I got out of those negative affirmations, mm-hmm. constantly going into my head, and your mind is your biggest enemy, I can tell you that.
Yes.
And once you learn to work with your mind, that life becomes a lot easier. But my upbringing was very harsh on me. We have bullying and isolation, and those things really change your mental from just like constant isolation. You need socialization to feel anything, in my opinion.
We're
humans, we're social beings. We shouldn't neglect socializing because mm-hmm. of anything.
Yes.
Isolation is good, at some points, learning to love yourself and things mm-hmm. like that. But I feel like that we've talked that loving yourself into so much deep isolation. It's getting worse and worse and worse.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you, Ezekiel. In spite of life, you're here and you're not just here. When I listen to you just now, I get the same feeling I got in my office. You've hit some really low spots in life, yet you rose up as a star. Is there a person's name that come to mind or something, one factor that caused you to just rise as a star and you're staying on that high level? What do you attribute that success to?
There's actually, I would say two people. There's a lot more than that, honestly. My father is really one of them. And my parents, like I said, they're more than anything. But I want to say there is a teacher that was at Eastern High School.
Yes.
That he was a black male teacher. He actually never gave up on me whenever I had any, like I would come in I would sleep, or I'd come in and I wouldn't do anything that was, you know, productive, and I would be failing like most of my other classes, and, you know, I had a terrible home life. But for him, he kept pushing me whenever, you know, because he knew I was intelligent. He constantly pushed me to be the better me. He was actually the only class I did not fail when I was in the ninth grade, because he always had faith in me. Mr. Cadogan, Christopher Cadogan, he's the only reason I was even in college, because without him, I wouldn't have constantly kept bashing myself and not having any motivation. And of course, if I failed all my classes in high school, it would be worse for me. Another person would be Ronaldo, Rolando, actually, sorry, which is my uncle that's in Colorado. He is very much my inspiration for so much. He's probably the only person that has been through as much as I have.
Yes.
And that, you know, he showed me that I can come up on top every single time.
Mm-hmm.
When I was 8 years old, I used to go to my parents' house now and knock on their doors almost like every day. And he told my now father that, you don't know it yet, but that's your third child.
Mm-hmm.
And that he had faith in me since I was 8 years old and I didn't even know this person.
Yes, yes.
That made me grow really, you know, feel really cared of and loved, even though I wasn't in his presence, that it was possible that there was people believing in me from even thousands of miles away.
That's wonderful. So those are two persons who are like role models or helpers in your life. But when you think of something, maybe even something inside of you, what is it that elevated you? What is that inner strength you think that caused you to just be buoyed up and staying so high?
I would say that the only reason that I get this way when I get so low, the only thing that brings me really up is that I've survived my worst days.
Mm-hmm.
That is what gets you through almost every single day. And that my ambition itself is just unmatched. I mean, I have so many, I used to be shamed for not having certain things, or shamed for being very confident and all the above. And, you know, my ego was too high,
yes,
you know, things like that. And my quote unquote friends would bash me for it. But, where I'm in my life right now is that I completely love who I am and who I as a person. And I'm proud of myself for getting where I was in the first place. Because without me having my ambition and my will to keep on going, I would still be continuously down. Sure, I had some weeks where they were worse than others, but I believe in myself and I believe the fact that those days can go. I can get past my worst days that I'm already in my life. That means that whatever is coming at me, I can always pass it. So
it's as if you've seen the worst.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I'll tell you honestly, a second time from my heart to yours, I really admire you as a person. You know, even when you elevate in life to kind of where you are right now as a star, you ask yourself sometimes, okay, so I'm studying, I'm doing well, I'm on the dean's list, but what is the purpose of it? I know you are working with young people who I'm sure are very blessed by your life, but what would you say is your main cause in life? What is focus, that focal point for you?
Building communities. I am very heavy on building communities within, you know, your local community is so important. Being involved and connected through everybody is so important to me. I feel like when it comes to the kids that I'm investing my energy into, that it's not for nothing. I mean, these kids will be adults one day, and they will have a reason. They will have their own passions and their own brand. And be like, hey, this might happen, or I can solve this problem, helping them create problem-solving skills and things like that. I want them to be able to, you know, I'm want to be the person that I didn't have when I was a child.
Exactly.
The person who would show up every single time. I think the most important thing to do is always just show up no matter what it is.
Yes.
And
yes.
Kids will forever remember that because I even go to one of my kids' basketball games and he literally gets so excited every single time he sees me. And he says, did you see that? Did you see what I did? You know, things like that. They think about those things and they remember those things and they go home and talk to their parents about those things.
Oh, yes.
They're very invested in the children in your community and their parents, you know. It's very, very important.
Thank you. Thank you, Ezekiel. You know, I get goosebumps listening to you because especially the state the world is in right now, to know that you want to build that community and give hope, right, a lot of these younger people is really commendable. What can people in general do, a couple of things, to further that cause that you have? How can we come alongside you and partner with you?
I say lower isolation. We have a loneliness epidemic, but the thing is that barely anybody knows because it's silent, because no one says anything. We've been conditioned to have so much fear about talking to the person next to us, or, you know, especially when you have our phones and social media, and unfortunately, it is that damn phone. It's there's so many things that it uses to control every single thing we do, like, you know, instead of, you know, talking to the person next to you or making a friend in real life, why wouldn't you do that when you could just scroll on social media and find a random person or use Bumble or Tinder? And they've managed to capitalize making connections. And I feel like that is the worst thing that we could ever do, is let them allow them to do that, you know, paying for those things. Go out and talk to that person. Even if it's not a new friend, you know what I mean? Compliment a person and, you know, put yourself out there, because you can't keep relying on someone else. Can't have the bystander effect. You can't rely on someone else to put their foot out there and expect them to do it. You know, exactly. You need to be the one to put the foot out there.
To be there.
And put yourself into a position where you can help end the loneliness epidemic that we're in right now, because it's bad, and we all need somebody to be a friend to, or all need somebody that we can call and rely on and, you know, be there for.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Ezekiel, I want to assure you, you did not walk into the Office of Empowerment by accident. What you're trying to do is empower, and that's what we're about. So, of course, we're going to continue conversations after today. How can we come alongside you? How can we help indeed to be a friend? To reduce that isolation so persons feel that there are others there in their lives and there's not that void and they're not standing alone, right? So thank you for sharing that. Listen, even when we get, and I've experienced this too, even when we get to that height, a certain height in life, things still happen, right? There are challenges from day to day. Now that you have, as you said, it kind of risen up from where you were to where you are now. Even when you still have challenges, do you find you're able to deal with them better? And if so, how do you deal with them?
First, I have a lot of tools. I get a lot of advice. Advice and talking it out seems to always calm my high nervous system. And, you know, learning not to react, waiting on it. That is something that's very heavy when it comes to your body. You know, we have all these ghosts from, you know, our childhood. You have to learn to, understand that whatever you think instantly is always not going to be, you know, the actual true feeling of it. Like, anxiety is crippling. It can stop you from doing
Absolutely.
So much. And learning how to deal with anxiety, or learning anxiety is just anxiety, and understanding that it doesn't have to be... I guess what I want to really say is that anxiety is with you.
Yes,
it is not you. And I think
Wonderful. That
is something that we often confuse, is that when you have neurodiversity or you have something that is, you know, hard to work with, we often define it as who we are, instead of being like, I'm a person, and right next to it is this thing that I struggle with. And I feel like building my language and building my knowledge around those things is very important. And it helps me learn how to carry such pain or agony when it comes. I learned that these things will pass, or, you know, these things don't have to be forever. Yes. And that whatever I'm struggling with right now, there's something that can't be solved.
Absolutely.
I feel like the word impossible is unrealistic. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I feel like impossible is fake, that I could always find a way. And that's what people really, I often get that they don't like about what I do, is that I often, when they say it's impossible, I tell them no. And I, I find the will, I find the way, I push,
good,
I push, I push until I can't push anymore. Yeah. I learn that, you know, I have to stop and take a break, or, you know, avoid burnout and things like that.
It is so profound what you're saying, Ezekiel. The things we go through, we're not those things, right? It's as if we're externalizing it. We're not internalizing the point where we become that. You don't become poverty. You don't become pain. You don't become harassment or abuse. You are not those things. You can rise above those things by dealing with them. That's just so profound. When I listen to your story before and now, I'm thinking, as I said, of others who have gone through or are going through what you are right now, whether within our LCC community and beyond, and or beyond. What would you say to a young person who comes up to you and say to you they're going through very similar, they've heard this and they're going through similar, what are three things you would say to them to encourage them?
For me, it's what I was really struggling with when I came to, when I didn't know how to deal with my problems. I didn't have the tools. I want to say, if someone came to me and asked me, they had the same situation that I was, and they wanted my advice, I would really more move towards the one thing at a time. I often constantly tried to do so many things at once, and I would burn out and I would fall over.
Yep.
And then things would feel impossible. My brain would block it out and be like, no. It's you can't do this. But in reality, there was too many things at once and I would get overwhelmed and I stopped. I want to say that taking things pace, like don't rush it. Just slow down yourself, slow down your brain, slow down your life. Really, you know, you have control.
Yes.
And not to bash yourself over things you can't control. I want to say, especially when it comes to external environmental factors, I would say don't internalize it. Really move forward with things that you can control.
Yep.
And then you try to handle the externalized factors if you could. Don't stress over them because you'll just fall over instantly. It will be too stressful to handle things that you can't control and things that you can't control at the same time.
Thank you so much for that. Listen, you mentioned earlier your cause, your focus in building communities. But what about your personal goal? Like even for this year, 2025, what is that personal thing that you'd love to achieve this year?
I wouldn't really say this year. My goals are very... always thinking ahead.
Okay.
For me,
let's hear it.
My goal is, and the language is going to be very bad on this, but I want people I want to be a vessel for people. I want people to be able to come to me and be able to be like, hey, I need this, and me give them, you know, programs and solutions and things to help them move forward or find other outlets or give them a person that has other outlets and, you know, things they can use to help them get past their problem or move with it or, you know, make it easier for them to move with their problem. I am a person that always wants to be there for somebody.
Yes. Yeah.
I also understand that sacrifices are sometimes that have to be made for you to be like that. And I'm willing to make that sacrifice. For me, that sacrifice is okay to help other people be their best selves, because the world would be a lot better if we would all put a hand out for somebody who wants to learn to be them best selves.
These are amazing goals. Ezekiel, I've met with so many persons in my life, similar story to yours, some less, some worse. Persons have a tendency of when they were abused or they've gone through a lot, there's anger, so they want to pass that on to somebody. There are persons who completely withdraw. You know, they don't care for life anymore. They don't want to be a part of life. And there are others like you who dare to turn those positives and those negatives into positives. And that's what you're doing. I'm seeing you since I met with you last year. Just want to encourage you to keep doing that. I think of just conversations we've had about that driving you to make a difference. When you think of the Office of Empowerment, when you think of Lansing Community College specifically, especially at this time, this period of that we're going through, What do you think are two things that we can step up and do a little better as we reach out to students within Lansing Community College? What advice can you give to us as a student?
I want to say help build stronger communities.
That's really on your heart.
Yeah. We have a lot of things that's not really, after COVID, it got really hard to make friends and make things, like, you know, more inclusive, you know, a lot of financial jobs and things like that. But we have to make people want to go to certain events. We have to make people want to do certain things. There has to be a drive. Like, you know, people are really depressed. They're so afraid to start something because they're so, because of anxiety. They need to be guided. We need to hold their hands. I want to say giving more inclusive events that are not only once a week, but multiple times per week because everyone has such a different schedule. Everyone struggles. Like, I want to say, like, there are a lot of times where there are events that I would want to go to, but everything's on Tuesday at 2:30. And I have class every single day, every Tuesday at 2:30. And there's a lot of people who go to class from 10 to 12.
Really appreciate that.
And people have events that are at 11, and they're in the middle of class, and they can't just get up and leave. And so it's like things like that are very hard for people us to connect with each other if nothing is at the right time. Making a protest at 9 a.m. on a Monday morning. Everyone's driving to work. How is it they're going to make it to the protest? Is it like, no one's going to be able to call off their job or all, you know, lower money, things like that. I also want to say the second thing is probably, which I already see being done, which is, you know, building more environments that are more welcoming. Things are very, I want to say, dull when you walk in, especially the East Campus. East Campus is very dull and very, in my opinion, boring. You can't, there's no love put into the building, it feels like. I feel like that if there was more creative things to be shown and we weren't bounded by social roles when it comes to, you know, what is cool to look at, what's modernistic and all the things above, that we could expand more and help people be able to actually enjoy things that aren't just like the hallway to walk into the Star Zone from the Gannon building is very like just office. It feels like an office, like a 9-to-5 office. And that's in my opinion is boring. I would rather have, you know, students that work really hard in art class, put their art pictures up and, you know, have a whole bulletin board with events and things like that, or things that students can post their things on and promote themselves because, you know, we're all trying to get by, and things like that is very inclusive for us all.
Thank you. Your transparency means a lot, and we definitely have made notes of those things, and we're going to be looking into them. I really, really, again, want to just tell you, just be encouraged. Keep doing what you're doing. I've worked probably at 30-something institutions over the years, and Lansing Community College is by far one of my favorites. And I think it's just feeling that desire to help our students and to do something different for them, something better to empower them, coming back to the name of our office. You're in a culture of care. And we're going to stay with you. And I know you try to email you sometimes and be on top of you, text you, so that we can show you a lot of love, respect, and support for you as a person and also for all that you're doing. Ezekiel, you fit this so perfectly, this podcast. In spite of life, you are here and you're not just here. You're soaring. And congratulations, the journey that you just shared, your life story, is going to go so far and wide. And so many young people, I think, will be blessed and encouraged by it. So thank you for who you are. And we appreciate, we love you. And we are here to serve you.
Thank you.
This concludes today's episode of You Are Invited, hosted by Dr. Dale Dan. We hope this episode inspired you to reflect on your own experiences and share them with us. For additional resources on diversity and inclusion, visit us at lcc.edu/empowerment. We'd also love to hear your thoughts. Send your comments or questions to youareinvited@star.lcc.edu. your voice helps shape future conversations. Let's keep building a stronger, more inclusive community together.